I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. And on the program today, we have a group called Bachia Calado, who specialize in various types of Brazilian music. They are going to be participating with three other bands in a Brazilian music night at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow evening. And we've got them live in our studio playing several tunes. And I'm expecting to have Dan Sutherland, who is the director of the what I believe is the new Urbana Pops Orchestra. They've got auditions coming up this weekend, although I haven't seen him yet, and I'm hoping that he will still appear, so we may or may not have that conversation today. Here's music performed by the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. It's called Procession of the Nobles from an opera called Milada by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov on Live and Local. Music from the opera Milada by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, Procession of the Nobles, played by the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, conducted by Eric Kunzel, here on FM 90.9, live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're with Dan Sutherland, who is the principal conductor, he's called, of the Urbana Pops Orchestra, which, as far as I know, is a new venture.
It is, indeed.
Brand new for this summer.
Yep, it's an idea we had last summer when we were doing the pit orchestra for the Summer Youth Theater in Urbana. And we had a collection of these really great musicians, and we were trying to figure out a way that we could get together still and play some literature outside of the pit orchestra and maybe have a couple of other concerts. And it's been in the works here for about a year. Actually, we've been planning it for a year. So it's finally about to come to fruition, which is kind of cool.
So when you say we, who's we?
Our assistant conductor, Stephen Larson, who is actually one of the directors over at the Summer Youth Theater in Urbana. He and I have been collaborating on this project since about last July. So.
And Summer Youth Theater is with the Park District?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, in fact, the Park District is helping us a little bit out with some facilities. For example, we're having our audition process over at the Phillips Center. And they're handling some of the payroll things we have, paying our musicians, and just providing things like being able to mail out notices to area orchestra directors and things like that. They're taking care of a lot of that burden for us.
To announce auditions,
yeah,
or just to let people know about the event?
Right. For both, actually.
And this is not Stephen Larson, who's conductor of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony.
No, actually. In fact, he gets that a lot.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, it's not the same person.
Yeah. And how is it going raising money for a brand new venture like this when so many other groups are struggling, even to just stay afloat after many, many years?
It's quite tough. In fact, we've decided that when we first came up with the idea, the idea was to have a collection of paid principal players and to fill the sections out with really talented high school and undergraduate students who would serve as interns for the orchestra. So that way we don't, you know, we have kind of a reduced force. We're not paying every member. And it also gives us a great opportunity to create this really rich educational component as well, having some of these younger students who might not have the chance to play a lot over the summer, and will have the chance to, you know, play their instruments over the summer and things like that.
I was just giving a talk to some kids over at Central High School about auditions for the youth orchestra, and this would have been a great thing to mention, actually, because the director over there actually asked me about playing opportunities over the summer. So I hope they got this information from you. What's your own background that leads you to be doing this?
I've always been very interested in conducting and wasn't really able to pursue it until I went to college at Millikan. My time at Millikan has been has made me quite fortunate in that I've had several conducting opportunities that a lot of students my age wouldn't have necessarily had. I was commissioned to write a piece for the Millikan High School Honor Band a couple of years ago. I've served 10 years with the Decatur Youth Symphony and the Millikan Concert Band, the actual university ensemble, and as well as some other community bands in the area, especially up north in Chicago, the Elk Grove Community Band, things like that. And so it's been the last 2 years have been jam-packed with all these really great conducting opportunities that I don't think really, you know, a lot of people have or aren't really readily available. You kind of have to go look for them a little bit, but they're there. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years, is really throwing myself out in the middle of these ensembles. And you know, I'm a band guy by trade. So we have this bag of tricks for wind players and brass players. But, you know, you get in front of an orchestra and you have string players and you can't just tell them to use more air. You know, it's you have to think of some other things you can tell them to make them more productive players. And those are the kind of things I've been learning for the last couple of years and have been really helpful.
So you were working with Gary Shaw?
Yeah, Gary's actually a buddy of mine, and he was my supervisor over at the Decatur Youth Symphony.
And he just retired from
there. He did, yeah. This was his last season, actually, and that was quite the... I think he's been doing it for close to 20 years, right?
I don't remember. I mean, I did talk to him right before the last concert, and yeah. he announced... Well, I mean, he had announced his retirement to the orchestra, but it was right. The first I heard of it.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking to him, I think, next week sometime about the summer band, I guess.
Sure, yeah, that's actually, band. Yeah, I've conducted with him on that ensemble as well, too. It's really quite a talented group of kids for what it is, you know, kind of a summer program with kids that just kind of come in and play some band literature, and it's really quite a great time.
So tell us real quick about the auditions. You're doing some this weekend.
Right. We had our first round of auditions a few weeks ago at the Phillips Center. What we didn't foresee was that we scheduled our auditions right over prom weekend for a lot of the high school students in the area, and that was a bit of a problem.
That'll kill them.
Yeah, exactly. So we scheduled a new round of auditions that will take place this weekend at the Phillips Center on Saturday and Sunday. From 12 to 4 p.m., we're still inviting people from any instrument group, but especially string players. Where you know we still need some string players. If anyone's listening in now and is hearing it for the first time, audition materials are on our website at www.urbanapops.org.
It looked like a couple of short excerpts.
Yeah, right.
Per instrument.
Exactly. And if it's, I know that you know, maybe some people are hearing about this for the first time, so if the excerpts are something that can't be put together before perhaps Saturday and Sunday, it's perfectly okay to bring in something that showcases your musicianship in some other way, some pieces you might have been working on.
And do they have to sign up or just appear?
They should... all of that information is on our website. We would prefer that they would contact our orchestra manager. His name is Joe Chico at joe@urbanapops.org and set up an audition time with him. That way we can keep scheduling the way that, you know, that it should be.
And what concerts have you got planned so far?
We have an Urbana Pops at the Movies in June, which will feature a guest conductor and a guest clarinet soloist from Los Angeles. Also, an up-and-coming film score composer in Los Angeles. Credits include things like episodes from the TV show Lost, Hotel for Dogs, and some other, you know, other films like that. And it's also a fantastic clarinet player. And is going to be with us to play a piece from the movie The Terminal, composed by John Williams. It's kind of this quasi-klezmer. In fact, when I was looking at the score, I see this accordion part. And I'm trying to wonder, well, you know, where in the heck am I going to get an accordion player? But it's really quite a fun tune, and it'll really show off how great of a clarinet player he is.
And what's the segment that, again that that's called?
The Urbana Pops at the Movies.
No, I mean from the score, from The Terminal.
Oh, it's Victor's Tale, I think is the title of the cue. Our second concert is kind of an Urbana Pops plays Broadway. And we're going to showcase some things that the Summer Youth Theater has done in the past, as well as play some really, you know, some personal favorites of mine, such as the Candide Overture, Leonard Bernstein, and things like, you know, Beauty and the Beast, and some of these really great show tunes, as well as give a little bit of a preview for this coming show in Urbana, which is Once Upon a Madras. And the orchestra's last service will be, for this summer, will be with the Summer Youth Theater, and we'll go ahead and serve as the pit orchestra for the show Once Upon a Madras. And that'll be the end of our season this year, and hopefully next year we'll try to have a couple of more concerts and have a little bit more of a frequent playing schedule.
Well, good luck with it all. I mean, it's a pretty challenging environment to try to pull this off.
It's been very challenging, actually.
And thanks for coming in and letting us know about it.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
A pleasure. And again, those auditions are this weekend at the Phillips Rec Center in Urbana. The audition information is on their website, which is urbanapops.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and
that's it.
To get your name on the schedule for the auditions, email joe@urbanapops.org. And it's Dan Sutherland, who is the principal conductor of the Urbana Pops and new venture. So best of luck, and good luck to anybody auditioning as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, and yes, good luck to them.
Yeah, pleasure. And we've got coming up in our studio, Bachi Calado, band that plays various kinds of Brazilian music, who are going to be participating in a Brazilian music night at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night. And we'll be hearing from them in a matter of moments right in our studio here on Live and Local. And that was music by John Williams from a film called The Terminal, which starred Tom Hanks, and the segment called The Tale of Victor Navorsky. And that's music that will be played by the Urbana Pops Orchestra on their first concert, the concert of film music, and featuring their guest clarinetist, who I think didn't actually get named in our conversation with Dan Sutherland, but you can go and find out all about that at urbanapops.org. Programs on FM 90.9, including Live and Local, are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly free wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. And at the Canopy Club, just around the corner from the Krannert Center in Urbana, on Friday night from 5 until 9 o'clock, there's going to be a Brazilian music night with not one or two or even three, but four different area bands that focus on one kind of Brazilian music or another, or more than one or two. And one of those bands is with us now. And I've been saying your name in a certain way because I thought I heard it said this way. I've been saying Bachi Calado.
That's pretty close,
is that
yeah.
Somewhat right?
Yes, Bachi Calado, yeah.
Bach, so you kind of don't do the E at the end?
Just hint.
Bach Calado.
Bach
Calado.
Bach Calado.
Yeah. Say that again.
We don't have a native speaker here, actually, but Bach Calado.
All right, so I wasn't too bad. It was better than Bait Calado, which is how I heard it said on Weft.
No. Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't know what you're looking at, I could understand that. It's spelled BATECALADO. And the other band's going to be on there. One of them has played a couple of times on this show, Bossa Nuevo. And one has been on this show once, Desafinado. They've been around here, our area, for a long time. And then a group called Samba Soul. The group in front of me, though, consists of Gina Reynolds, who was speaking. Yes?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Eduardo Herrera, who just did speak. He's got the guitar in his hand. And I don't see a mandolin player.
He abandoned us for today. He had his green card paperwork had to be done today in Indianapolis.
Uh-oh.
So it was sudden departure, but he will join us tomorrow.
But at least he's getting his green card.
He's our resident Brazilian and pronunciation expert.
Oh, he's the guy that could have clarified all this. All right. And Sam Carroll, who I know, on drums, and David Cubberly, the bassist, and Rick
Deja.
Deja, okay, and sax and flute. And we have a person who is barefoot who is not on the list.
I'm Andy Miller.
You're Andy Miller. And what are you doing, Andy?
I'm just adding some Brazilian percussive flavors to to the group. Add a little shaker, add a little triangle.
Very tasty.
Very tasty. And you've got the right hair for it.
That's right.
Although, actually, you have more of the right hair for reggae.
That, too. We can do some mix.
Okay. A lot of the African diaspora sound in our music anyway.
Well, let's talk about that because, I said the different bands play different types of Brazilian music, but you guys on your own play various kinds. So what is sort of the larger realm of Brazilian music, and what slice do you take out of it?
Well, Brazil is a very diverse country in many respects, and musically is one of them. We actually take a little bit from different traditions. We play usual bossa nova songs from the 1960s, some sounds from the 70s. We actually incorporate some songs from a later generation, the tropicalistas, like Caetano Veloso and Chico Buarque, and play some of that. They had a lot of influences from rock and abroad, from reggae. And we actually play some pop music, much more recent pop music. We decided that that skipping from one genre to another would give us a better sense of learning about this music. That's what we're all doing here, learning about this music. So for instance, we play forró, which is a dance music, very contrasting from bossa nova, right? So we jump around different genres to try to learn a little bit about Brazilian music and play as many different areas of Brazilian music that we can.
And did you bring today samples of just about everything?
Yeah, we try to.
And so the more popular music, that's what classifies here as música popular brasileira.
Correct. It's a very broad genre in Brazil. They call it MPB. And MPB means almost anything that has a singer-songwriter involved. But it's very broad, and it could sound really different. It could sound very towards the U.S. type of singer-songwriter, or it could sound much more pop-like. There's cases where it's very influenced by samba. There's cases where it's very influenced by rock. It's a very broad genre. When you get to Brazil and they talk about MPB, it's really a catch-all umbrella term.
Well, and even singer-songwriters in America can be all over the map. I mean, we've had quite a few on here, it just depends on the individual taste and bent of whoever's writing the songs, I guess. So you all are students of some kind? You said you're all studying this kind of music.
Right.
Yes?
But we're not really all students. We're students of music in the sense that we play music and learn new songs, but we all have different, we have a political scientist, a professor of Portuguese in the group, students of musicology, of percussion, a game designer.
Who's our game designer?
That would be me.
That was going to be my guess for some reason. I don't know why.
He's the best dressed. He has the best salary.
And who's the professor of Portuguese?
Luciano, who's actually not
who's
with
not
us
here.
Today. Luciano Tosta. Our star, actually.
Our star?
He's our mandolin player. He's
extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, you have to. If you play mandolin, you have to be extraordinaire, I suppose. What genre are we going to start with?
Oh, we're going to start with a bossa nova song by Tom Jobim, Gingy.
Which means? Anything in particular?
It's the name of a woman.
Of a woman. So. Oh, well, of course. It's Abacha Calado here on Live and Local, live in our studio.
Não sei.
vento que toca nas folhas, contando as histórias que são de ninguém. Mas que são minhas e de você também. Atingi, se soubesse o bom que eu te quero, o mundo seria atingi, tudo atingi, lindo atingi. Atingi, se um dia você for embora, me leva contigo, atingi, olha atingi, fica atingi. E as águas desse rio, onde vão, eu não sei. A minha vida inteira esperei, esperei por você. Coisa mais linda que existe, você não existe, Gingy. Olha, Gingy, fica, Gingy.
The band Bacha Calado here on Live and Local. And again, the name of that tune?
Gingy.
How do you spell that?
D-I-N-D-I. Yeah, so a little surprising on the pronunciation again.
Well, that's the thing about Portuguese.
Yeah, a lot of the consonants soften. So C-H is pronounced sh, like an S-H.
Choro is one of the forms that you guys play, for example. And the composer of that?
Tom Jobim.
How do you spell that?
T-O-M, like Tom.
Yeah.
Tom. And Jobim, J-O-B-I-M.
Yes. Is that the same as the other Jobim?
It's Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Oh, it is the same person.
Yes.
Oh, that's just his
Antonio,
nickname.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know who that is. He's the famous bossa nova guy.
Right. In this case, the lyrics are not written by Vinicius de Moraes, which is usually the pairing we associate. This lyrics are from Aloysio de Oliveira, different person that wrote the lyrics. Usually songs like Garota de Ipanema or Desafinado are that pairing of Antonio Carlos Jobim on the music and Vinicius de Moraes on the lyrics.
Well, better for you to say all those names than me. doesn't roll off my tongue quite as well. I'm curious of some of the musical background of all of you here, because you said you want to learn more about Brazilian music. For example, Eduardo, what's your musical background mostly, if there is a mostly?
I started as a rock guitar player when very young, and studied classical guitar during college. And when I left college, and I guess I haven't left it yet, but when I graduated my undergrad, when I finished my undergrad, I came here to study musicology, and I got very interested in different musics from Latin America, not only the classical repertoire, which I write about. I'm an ethnomusicology, I write about music. But I also started playing a lot of the musics from Latin America. Funny, because in Colombia, I didn't really play them. But once I got here, I started getting interested in Peruvian music, a little bit in Argentinian music, and thanks to a FLAS fellowship from the Center for Latin American and Caribbean Studies, I was able to go to Brazil. That's where I met with Luciano, who's a professor here in Portuguese, and we stayed there for 6 weeks learning about different aspects of culture and, of course, language as well, and really got interested in learning how to play Brazilian music. And it was through one of the members of the other bands, one of the other bands that are going to play tomorrow, the Safinado, Greg Yahil, who plays guitar with them, that I said, hey, Greg, I know you want to learn a little classical, and I really would love to learn some Brazilian. What about if we exchange classes? I'll teach you a little classical, you teach me a little Brazilian. And he got me hooked. And then I started pulling everyone from different backgrounds, you know, calling Gina, who Luciano said sings beautifully. I got her to sing in the band. You know, all of these guys kind of like that too, knowing that Rick was a great saxophone player. I think Rick has never played this type of music before, but I knew he had played a lot of saxophones, so I picked them out. So it's been a whole process for everybody, because any of us had played this music before.
Right, so Rick, is yours a jazz background then?
Primarily. I mean, here I'm studying, I'm also within the ethnomusicology program, and my area of focus is actually popular music in Southern Africa. But I have a jazz background simply through education, which originally was the jazz that is an opportunity for me to have an outlet to improvise. The genre itself of jazz was not particularly necessary. I was just like, hey, I can play something other than classical.
So are you anti-classical then? Is that
No. I'm just. I mean, saxophone. The role of saxophone in classical music is somewhat marginalized, so it didn't really afford me much of an opportunity to explore what I wanted to explore on a larger scale. So.
Yeah, it seems like classical sax. You either play one of the very, 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 very few orchestral pieces that has sax, or you play music written for solo classical sax.
Indeed.
And that's that. But you just like to improvise any way you can.
Pretty much.
Yeah. David, on the bass, where do you come at all of this?
I met Eduardo while I was doing my master's degree. Actually, before that, when I was doing my undergraduate degree. But I got a master's completed in 2006 in music composition. And so that's sort of where my music...
Here?
Here, yeah, the University of Illinois. And I've always been playing various instruments, guitar, piano, trombone, bass. So and that's sort of how, and I've been friends with Eduardo for a long time, and we had always tried to start bands together, and this one worked. We found the right group of people, and so I think it's a good experience.
Band's been around how long, by the way?
Now it's about a year. In its current configuration, I feel like finally we fully clicked. It's been 3 months. But it's been about a year since we started trying, you know, trying different people, different percussionists, different singers.
But fairly consistently, this group.
3 months, mm-hmm. three,
okay.
4 months.
Okay, because I noticed that you list one former member on your website. Is that the one former member who still stays in your good graces, or?
she sang with us, Leslie Goldberg. She sang with us for the first 6-7 months, perhaps, of the band. And she was great. She just graduated and had to move away. which allowed us the great opportunity to have Gina now with us.
So yeah, how do you come at this, Gina?
Well, I met Luciano Tosta, our mandolin player, because I was taking classes with him. And actually, I did the program in Brazil that he does, the same one that Eduardo did in the summer, last summer, not at the same time with Eduardo. And I had heard about his band, and I had bugged him to let me sing, you know, a duet or something, like one song at some point. And so when Leslie was graduating, he just said, well, why don't you just come and audition? So I never got to do really the one song. I was already being, I guess, incorporated as the new main singer at that time.
So you didn't get your duet?
Well, we actually did some duet work right before Leslie took off, but yeah.
That seems to be a challenge to retain the right kind of singer. I know Desafinado has been through, I think is between singers again, or at least has gone. When they were here, it was the last gig for that particular singer. And it's not everybody that can sing in Portuguese.
Right. And I think now, tomorrow, we'll hear a lot of their repertoire is actually original. So this is a band that is not only playing Brazilian music, they're playing their own Brazilian music. So a lot of people don't know it.
Desafinado.
Yes, yeah. Correct. So with Gina, we had a lot of standards that she had heard, and then we introduced her to other songs, and she introduced us. But in the case of Desafinado, it's even more of a challenge. I'm curious to hear them tomorrow, because I think they've been such inspiration for us, because they've been playing, as you said, for a very long time in Champaign-Urbana. So it'd be very interesting to see them as well.
Yeah, and tomorrow, meaning tomorrow evening at from 5 to 9 at the Canopy Club on South Goodwin Avenue in Urbana. And it's called a Brazilian Music Night with the band you're hearing today, Bate Calado, and the Desafinado, which we've mentioned, as well as Samba Soul and Bossa Nuevo, all of those bands participating in that tomorrow night. If you want more information, well, unfortunately, I could not find information on the Canopy Club website, so you want to go to the Facebook page you can go to Bate Calado, BateCalado, and then link to the Brazilian Music Night event. What genre are we going to explore next or sample next?
This is much more closer to what people associate with samba. This is a traditional song that was arranged by Marisa Monte. And she does a samba version of this song called Meu Canario, My Canary. Did I say that right? I normally put the accents in the wrong place in English. My Canary.
Well, that if it's the canary, the bird, that's in the right,
right.
Spot. Right. Yeah.
I used to say my canary, which I guess is wrong.
We wouldn't know what you're talking about. Exactly. Canary is where you put stuff in cans.
Right. It didn't make much sense with the song.
No, it wouldn't. Bate Calado on Live and Local.
Pela primeira vez eu chorei, porque fui desprezado pelo meu amor. O meu barraco agora ficou desarrumado. O meu canário já não canta, com certeza se desgostou. Piu, 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 piu. Canta meu caraninho para amenizar a minha dor. Piu, piu. Quando é noite de lua, eu saio pra rua pra meditar. O meu pinho faz tudo pra ver meu canário cantar. Não sou luzar do vento, no sussurro das folhagens, no gemido dos coqueiros, veja ele pra criar coragem. Nem assim o meu canário canta, e da minha garganta um triste gemido sai. Ui, ui, ai, ai. Ui, ui, ai, ai. Pela meu amor, o meu barraco agora Fico desarrumado. O meu canário já não canta com certeza. Se desgostou. Piu, 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 piu. Canta meu caraninho para amenizar a minha dor. Piu, piu. Quando é noite de lua, eu saio pra rua pra meditar. O meu pinho faz tudo pra ver meu canário cantar. Não sou luça do vento, não sussurro das folhagens, não gemido dos coqueiros, pede a ele pra criar coragem. Nem assim o meu canário canta, e da minha garganta um triste gemido sai. Não sou luça do vento, não sussurro das folhagens, não gemido dos coqueiros, pede a ele pra criar coragem. Nem assim o meu canário canta, e da minha garganta um triste gemido sai. Oi, oi, ai, ai, oi, oi, oi,
a little samba or samba type music here from Bacha Colada on Live and Local. Sam Carroll is the drummer for the group, and you know, I didn't write it down. Is it Andy?
Andy. Yes.
What's the last name, Andy?
Miller.
Andy. Oh, okay, I did. That is what I was going to say. Andy Miller. Andy, I'm curious about one thing. I'm looking at that tambourine you just played, which is different from any that I've seen before. But maybe it just means I haven't seen enough tambourines. It's very shallow compared to the average one. Why is that?
This instrument is actually very peculiar to Brazil. It's called pandeiro. And the jingles are a little tighter than you would think on a classical tambourine. And the goatskin head on it comes more into play with actually getting a drum sound. You can get more of a drum sound than just a jingle sound. And you can change the pitch of it. So it's generally associated with samba music. And that's why I decided to play it on this song, to give that flavor.
So is this something you needed to learn about, or something, a piece of knowledge you brought to the group?
I don't know if anyone's played a pandeiro with a group before. This has been a personal interest of mine for over a few years, and I've never had any personal one-on-one instruction with any teacher, but kind of through looking and watching and listening, I've taught myself a few basics, but I'm just getting interested in it again as I've been able to join this group.
So what's the background that you bring to the group?
I just completed my bachelor's in music in Dayton, Ohio, and this is my first year here as a master's student in percussion at the U of I. So I'm coming from a classical background in percussion specifically, but once I got here, I was thrilled to find the Center for World Music and the many diverse musical styles I can get involved in. So this year I've been able to play in gamelan orchestra, the Mande drumming of West Africa, and I'm looking at more experiences next year.
Did I see you at the World Music Night?
Very possible.
Yeah. Were you playing in both of those groups
just
mentioned?
Yes, I was. I just mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did see parts of both of those groups, I believe. And then Sam, I know, are you in the master's program? Finished the master's program?
Actually, I did a master's at the University of Memphis.
You're in the doctoral program.
So I'm in the doctoral program. I'm in the limbo stage where I'm done with my classwork, but I haven't yet finished my dissertation.
But you've started it.
I have started it. I'm writing a dissertation on the texted percussion solos of the 20th century. There were quite a number of percussion solos organized around a text in some way or other.
Meaning a text of words.
A text of words.
Really?
Sometimes the performer will speak the words or sing them as he plays. Sometimes they'll be recorded. One particular piece by Vinko Globokar has the percussionist attempting to imitate the sound of French vowels on a set of or various percussion instruments.
So you're trying to speak with the instrument.
Yes, and it's arranged in six acts. Each one is a small segment from the play The Life of Galileo by Bertolt Brecht. And in each segment, you're speaking and playing, but as it goes towards the middle, you speak less and less till you're really just mouthing the words in the middle. And some people say they can hear the text a little bit from the instruments, even as I'm just playing, you know. So when I play the U, the French U sound, it was a brake drum I was hitting, muffling the brake drum with my hand and slapping that to get something close to an U sound.
So this is apparently a piece you have played.
Yes, I played that on a recital a couple of years ago.
And did you get people who heard what, I assume you had notes with this thing that described what people were supposed to be hearing, and did they feel that they
I unfortunately was not able to provide people with the text. I spoke about the piece and explained the concept, but I was a little disorganized in that recital and didn't get the text together in time for people to have it.
Yeah, that would be a challenge. Well, you'll have to do it again on some other recital, I guess.
I hope so.
What's your background in world music? I mean, I know there is this program now of world music at the University of Illinois.
And I haven't done much with that program. I played in the Gamelan Orchestra for one semester, but I was trying to finish my doctoral classes in just 2 years, and I wasn't able to work it in beyond that. But I played for 2 years in the Latin Jazz Ensemble, directed by Tito Carrillo. It's a great experience. I played a lot of congas there.
And so what, between even just the two styles we just heard now, I mean, are there certain kinds of drumming patterns, of rhythmic patterns that are characteristic of both that you've learned?
Not, they don't share much in common, those two styles, it seems. The bossa nova has its own very distinctive style. It's very relaxed, very cool, a lot of time spent making rim clicks on the snare drum and so on. And the samba, I was playing it from what you call the street samba approach, when they have carnival in Rio. So I was imitating the sound of the caixa and the sordo.
And what are those?
The caixa is a very small, shallow snare drum. And the caixa pattern that you'll typically hear is with some embellishments thrown in. And the sordo is a sort of like a bass drum, which will be muffled, and you'll have a muffled sound on the upbeat and an open sound on the downbeat.
So there you're combining a tom-tom and the bass drum.
Yes, I am.
And the typical sound of the bossa nova, in contrast. And then, of course, you can lend your own flavor to anything you play.
Right.
And is this a typical size of a drum kit for this kind of music, or is there no such thing as typical? It seems bigger than I would have expected.
It's larger than usual for bossa nova music. I started with a very small kit, and I've kept expanding it as we went on and played more of the MPB genre. I find myself thinking, I need another crash cymbal here. You know, because it's more rock and roll. The drumming is more like rock and roll. And then also with the full holes that we play, I find that it's really helpful to have several tom-toms, get more melodic patterns going there.
So we got three different sized toms, a snare, a bass drum, and then four cymbals plus hi-hat cymbal. Yeah, pretty much a full kit, or close to it.
Yep.
Are we gonna what is the sample we're gonna sample?
The next
next
song is actually composed by Gilberto Gil, who used to be Minister of Culture in Brazil. He's been since the 60s famous as a composer and a guitar player, singer, songwriter. And the rhythm that this song fits into, this is called Esperando na Janela, Waiting by the Window. This is a forró, which is a very danceable rhythm, and if you were surprised by Andy playing the pandeiro, now you'll hear a great triangle playing. I think forró and zydeco music from the south here in the States might be the two most interesting genres for triangle players. So here you have a lot of triangle driving the rhythm of the song.
We'll hear a little bit about triangle on tomorrow's show, actually, in the context of Cajun country music.
Of course.
What's the guy's name I'm going to be talking to? Wade Benson Landry. They're going to be playing, that's going to be part of the show tomorrow. But anyway, he specifically talked about triangle as being an aspect of Cajun music. Right. So it's the second time I've heard about that.
Yeah,
since I
triangle
had actually,
it's the instrument of the week.
There,
here at WILL.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I don't even need to say the name of the station. You got it for me. But this is Live and Local, and you're listening to Bacha Colada right in our studio.
Disso caminhar, sujeito de olhar, eu me lembro bem. Fiquei querendo sentir o seu cheiro, é daquele jeito que ela tem. O tempo todo fico feito tonto, sempre procurando, mas ela não vem. Esse aperto no fundo de peito, desse jeito não pode aguentar. Esse aperto meu te desejo, não vejo hora de poder lhe falar. Por isso vou na casa dela, ai, ai. Falar de meu amor pra ela vai. Tá me esperando na janela, ai, ai. Não sei se vou me segurar. Por isso vou, eu vou na casa dela, ai, ai. Falar de meu amor pra ela vai. Tá me esperando na janela, ai, ai. Não sei se vou me
Bacha Colada performing here on Live and Local. The band are, or is, take your pick, Gina Reynolds, vocals, Eduardo Herrera, guitar, Sam Carroll, drums, David Carberly, bass, Rick Deja, sax, and we heard him in the previous tune, playing flute, Andy Miller on percussion, and the absent member, Luciano Tosta, would be playing mandolin and coaching everybody on the Brazilian music. They're going to be participating on the Brazilian language. They're going to be participating in Brazilian Music Night tomorrow from 5 to 9 at the Canopy Club in South Goodwin in Urbana, along with three other bands, Desafinado, Samba Soul, and Bossa Nuevo, and we're pleased to have them on the show today. coming up. We've got the Writer's Almanac in about 3 minutes, and classical music for you starting at 1:06. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And we've got time to go out on one more tune, I think. I do have one quick question for you. The other group that I haven't heard before, Samba Soul. Have you heard them? What can you tell me about?
Yes, the main singer of this group, Vivian Felicio, has been again in town for a while. She's been TAing for Portuguese. She's from Brazil. She has a very nice voice, and she decided to do a project more focused on samba, precisely. So it's an interesting combination because all bands are doing a little bit different things. We're perhaps more towards the rock and pop. Bossa Nueva is much closer to jazz. Desafinado is its own thing now. And Samba Soul does this more samba-oriented. We were also, I should mention this, very, very lucky to get the support from the Lehman Institute for Brazilian Studies, this recent huge grant that the university got for Brazilian Studies. It's also interested in promoting a little bit of Brazilian culture in our community. So if you want to know more about Samba Soul, definitely be there 5 to 9.
And you can get web information on all these groups, although I don't see that Samba Soul has a site, but you can at least see its description about them on Bate Calado's Facebook page, BATECALADO. And what do we want to go out with?
This is the Garota de Ipanema, the girl from Ipanema.
The one bossa nova tune that most people are likely to know, if they know any at all. Bate Calado, thanks for joining us here on Live and Local.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina, que vem, que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do copo dourado, do céu de Ipanema, o sol balançado é mais que poema. Coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.